Hello and welcome to another episode of the Charity Digital Podcast. In the past few years, charities have started to understand the importance of tech. They started indulging the cloud, embracing Teams and Zoom and Skype and Slack, shifting to online collaboration tools such as Trello and Monday and Miro, prioritizing robust cybersecurity options and so much more. The shift to digital, that embrace of tech, came largely out of necessity. The pandemic pushed charities towards digital. The good news, that shift is irrevocable. It opened Pandora's box. And now that charities are using digital and feel more comfortable using digital, questions arise about optimization, personalization, and ensuring the best possible return on investment. In essence, charities are looking for the right tech at the right price. One way to ensure that they get the right tech is by finding decent deals. That does not mean car boot sales, eBay, or bargain buckets at your local Currys. It means doing research, looking online, and finding decent, high-quality tech at a low cost. And that's where Charity Digital can help. Today, I'm joined by my wonderful colleagues, Joel Hogan, Client Account Manager, Stuart Barber, Client Account Specialist, and Lisa Chimet, Business Development Manager, to find out where charities can save money on quality tech. Quick disclaimer, we're all recording from our homes and our tech is really good and not particularly expensive. We know how to find a deal, but still, there may be some noises in the background. Anyway, enough of me. Let's move into the actual podcast. I want to start close to home and talk about donated and discounted products that people can find online. And so we could start with us, Charity Digital. Stuart, can you tell us a little bit about the Charity Digital Exchange?
Yes, Charity Digital Exchange has been around since 2002. We have enabled more than 74,000 customers save £272 million on technology investments, and our payment services have provided an income of over £315 million for charity customers.
Okay, it's a good start. A little bit, does anyone have on this call a favourite, this is a weird thing to say, but a favourite product that you want to sort of champion from the exchange? I'll let anyone jump in.
Go ahead, Joel.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll probably start off with actually one of my favorites is Avast, actually. It's a really great sort of antivirus option, but not just that alone. You get to put various add-ons on it as well, such as patch management as well, which gets the techies excited on that side of things as well, which is great. And the great thing is as well, I mean, there's some great sort of deals for it or pricings as well, and such as you save more the more you take that way, and it's fulfilled really nicely and really simply as well, actually. Just it's nice and simple, don't really have to wait for license keys and an email after an email after an email, that kind of thing, which you do in maybe some other organizations. So I'd give that one a shout out for me.
Carrying on the simple things, I think for me that would be Zoom. So I think it's one of our most popular programs, and obviously you understand why. We're using Zoom now for our podcast, and we've been using Zoom for the past 2.5 years or even before that. It's very good for, you know, video conferencing, having your online meetings, and it's great because anybody can join even from a browser. So I think that's what made it very popular. And the discount that hopefully loads of charities can have access through us is quite good as well, because they have access to up to 50% discount. So eligible one can really save, and you can start saving, you know, from £20, we can go up to 600 depending on the number of license that you take. So yeah, for me that's a really good offer. And something that, you know, if charities don't have it, they should definitely have it.
Stuart, any free or discounted or donated?
Yeah, I think the one for me is just the sheer amount of offers that we have with Microsoft. We all use Office products day to day, and 9 times out of 10, they come from Microsoft. Charity Digital is able to offer desktop licensing, cloud licensing, as well as some expert advice at migrating you from one to the other, if that's a place that your organization is in at that time. I think that there are lots of other bits of interesting technology, sort of a little bit niche. We've recently had an organization called Otter AI join us, who do some really cool stuff with recording and transcripting. So it enables organizations that may make a lot of video content or things like that to actually have closed captioning available to them on any video they make.
And also for people like me who talk a lot, it enables you to actually generate notes and have all of that transcribed. And I think that's very helpful for when you have loads of perhaps lots of sessions that you do with beneficiaries or you know, internally. I think it's a good piece of tech that we're offering.
I think the exchange has loads and loads of options. So if anyone is listening and interested in it, the best thing is to just log on and find something for you, and you'll get discounts and donations. Does anyone want to give a sort of quick, brief, very top level sort of overview of how it works on the most simplistic basis? We know that they find charities, eligible charities, find the products they want, and they follow a step by step. Does anyone have the first steps just to sort of let them know how easy it is or how not easy it is?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could give a basic breakdown. I mean, firstly, just to confirm, is that so any charity can sign up for it. So any right. charity is eligible to sign up for Charity Digital Exchange. It's just our partners may have their own separate eligibility criteria. Mm-hmm. Also, to sign up to Charity Digital Exchange may be overlooked, but it's actually free as well. There's no sign up fee for it at this time. So you simply go to that specific part of the website, which is so it's charitydigitalexchange.org.uk. Oh, sorry, .org, should I say, actually. RVR domain is different for that one. Sure, is it .org or .uk for that one?
.org.
Yeah, .org. Give this me. Oh, well, I'm really sad.
The two website confusion
now.
Gets us all the times.
But yeah, what you get on that main website, you see some of the offers, and in the top right corner, you can see a point there which will say My Account, so you can click on that, and as you're not logged in, it will start a process where you firstly create a user account for yourself as an individual, you know, like your name, email address, that kind of thing. And then once you've activated that account, once you've logged in, you will see a link to register your organization. And at that point, where you submit the details of your charity, such as the charity number, if you're on the charity commission, you can actually use the information on the charity commission if you're unsure of perhaps your organization's finances or something like that. So one thing that may come up as well is you may not realize that your organization may already be registered with us. I mean, we've been going on for so long at Charity Digital that some organizations have registered many, many, many moons ago. So you might receive like a notification that is a duplicate. So if you're unsure, you can always just drop us an email just to check, are we registered? That might save you a bit of time as well. But anyway, once you've submitted the application, your details to us, your details will be sort of reviewed within a 5 business day timeframe and responded to via email, either confirming registration is complete or if any further documents are sort of required to complete the validation, we'll let you know via email as well. And then once you receive that confirmation email, away you go, start taking advantage of the products and validation services.
Wow. Well, that was brilliant. Thank you, John.
Great.
I feel like I learned a lot there, actually. And also, if there's any issues, then you can email and you will get through to maybe someone who's on this podcast. So if you're lucky.
Possibly.
There's a 50-50 chance on that.
Yeah. So you might well be lucky. Yeah, so let's move on from the Charity Digital Exchange. Again, there's loads of offers there if people want to check them out, but we'll let you do that in your own time. And part of finding good quality tech at affordable and reasonable prices is doing the research yourself. So we're going to move on to some other options that go beyond us. So just, I'll start with anyone, whoever feels like they want to jump in. Like, what are some deals that are available for charities and how can they broadly save money? So really say whatever you want, anything that you think pops up, anything that comes to your head.
Yeah, maybe I can start off. There are actually loads of free trials, more than maybe charities are aware of when it comes to, say, CRMs or fundraising platforms, you know, that sort of thing. Obviously, I'm thinking about Bob that comes to mind, but there are plenty of others that can offer a free trial. And it's always good to to make the most of these free trial periods, whatever they are, before jumping in and, you know, jumping into a contract or signing up for anything and starting paying something. So I'd say don't hesitate to ask, you know, if there's a product that you're interested in, don't hesitate to reach out to the, you know, the customer service team or anybody and ask for a free trial, because you know, that is the best way to find out if, you know, the tool is suitable for you or not. And it would be a shame to sort of really invest when you're not sure. So that would be one of my advice here. There are a lot, you know, even Zoom, you know, mentioning them again, you can have the freemium option. It's 40 minutes, so you have to keep it short, but you can start with that and then upgrade when you see it's working for you.
Want to jump in? Any other bits of advice?
One of the bits of advice that I'd like to give, I'm as my colleagues can attest to, I'm a bit of a gadget head, so I've always got the latest sort of toy or game and things like that. And one bit of advice that I would always give is don't necessarily trust sales. Mm-hmm. So we get big sales times throughout the year, sort of the January sales, and then these special sort of one-off events like Black Friday. However, from studies that organizations such as Which have done, that actually 95% of products on sale with a massive discount on Black Friday have been sold earlier that year at a cheaper rate. It's headlines. So always do your research and know what it is that you're looking for. Kind of one of those things of buying the right tool for the right job. Yeah. And yes, in some respects that might cost you a little bit more money in the initial outlay, but in the long term that can end up saving you money. For example, you have a new member of staff that will be working primarily on editing videos and design work. And you go, oh, I need to get a new computer for them. Now, we all know you can pay £150 for a computer. You can also pay thousands of pounds for a computer. But you've got staff members with specific needs. Yes, that computer that you buy middle of the range, £300-£500, might work for that staff member for the first year or the second year. But will that actually have longevity? Are you able to upgrade and update that machine for long enough? You may actually be better spending more money out at the beginning and having a quality piece of equipment that will last you for a long period of time.
Mm. I would say actually it's one of our partners, but definitely a worthy shout out, who are both a partner separate to us. But so our partners at TechSoup, like us, provide a lot of different content. As you all know, you're on this podcast today, so you've seen some of our own content that we provide, you know, no cost or anything like that. But TechSoup are particularly great at that, especially with like training courses as well, which have no fees and so many other, they have their own sort of webinars and videos and series out there as well. So I think training is quite a big topic this stage. People really want to upskill themselves. Sort of, it's not always solution based. Some people really do want to improve their skills, and like I said, organizations like TechSoup as well as us and can provide some really great training material out there as well for your particular sort of IT needs, or even for beginners as well.
I agree. And also I'd say for those that find it a little bit daunting, we were actually having a look and browsing other sort of resources, and there's a charity IT association that's been going on for a good number of years, and I was reading that they helped over 700 charities And they basically they just deliver days of consultancy. So they come, you know, they come into your organizations and they have a chat with you. They assess what, you know, what it's, what's working, what's not working, how you do things, and then trying to help you work out the right path to either be more efficient in your work or revising and reviewing your IT and your security, that sort of things. So that they are, you know, worth checking out as well. If maybe there's a project stalling or you feel that maybe your IT and your cybersecurity might need a little bit of an upgrade, but you don't know where to start. They could be interesting. Obviously, there are other people, staying on the field of IT and security. There's, you know, great resources like the National Cybersecurity Center, where they can also not only get you great things about, give you, you know, great advice, but also great training tools. I think they have an exercise in the box kind of thing. That's quite efficient. But yeah, there are plenty of resources here. There's also the Charity Excellence Framework. So it's basically a website that lists all the free resources and maybe free IT consultancy that you can find as a charity in the UK. So as in, like we keep saying, it's worth doing loads of research and not being afraid of spending maybe a bit of time on that, because it would benefit you in the long run.
So there are also a number of smaller organizations that tend to work locally in geographic areas that actually recycle and reuse old tech. So something like that might be worth having some research into. You never know, that organization might support the type of organization that you work for with your sort of mission. A lot of the time, big corporations, because they have environmental responsibility to make sure that things are recycled or reused, that they are passed on, everything is completely wiped and rebuilt basically from the ground up. The chips might be a little bit old, but basically you've got a completely brand new refurbished computer.
I think that's essential as well. And I think there's a couple of points I just wanted to touch on. One was something that Stuart mentioned at the beginning, which was, well, not at the beginning, in the beginning of this section, but it was essentially buy what you need, you said. And I think there's one thing, a little bit of advice is not, I think, for charities, is not to follow fashions and not get too swept by the sales, as we saw. I think the sales are a good place to find the right tech, but make sure you know what you need first, and then go and buy that. Don't see it, oh, this is saving 50%, 70% off, and go, well, I'll buy it. You might not need it. There's no point.
Oh, totally. Because there's a number of examples of things like that. You don't know what software that you already have might actually have the functionality that you're looking for in something else. Mm-hmm. For example, a password manager. Well, the Avast antivirus program available on Charity Digital Exchange actually includes a password manager as an extra for free. Can save you then having a bill with somebody like Okta or something like that. A lot of other sort of project management tools built directly into Teams, which comes with your 365 subscription. Yep. So you have your tasks and things like that. So don't look to overstretch yourself with extra platforms, which adds a layer of confusion for staff, and that you're adding in redundant programs that you're paying for a service that you don't need because it is there elsewhere.
I think a good analogy is like if you go to the January sales and you come home with six items of clothing that you'll never wear. That's kind of the same principle, because I'm like, this is £5, but I hate it. You know?
Are you talking about me here?
but it was so cheap.
Yeah, that's the thing. But I think in terms of actually understanding where you might need more tech, I think there's a lot of tools online. The NCBO Digital Maturity Matrix, that's one option you can use to do a sort of digital maturity assessment or digital skills audit, sort of similar ground. The Digital Maturity Framework, which is a mouthful, but there's another option online. And a digital data maturity assessment tool produced by Data and Research Social Enterprise, Data Orchid, can actually, you know, provide you with some insight. So do a little research and see what's missing, see where you need to improve, see what weak spots you have. Also, if you've got stuff covered and you're doing well, and don't feel that you need to double down, that thing, it's okay sometimes. I think it's one risk people have when they're looking at sort of their data, is things are going okay and they're sort of like, maybe we should double down. It's all right for things just to be going all right sometimes. Mm-hmm. So if you have the right tech in place, just look elsewhere, look for weak spots. Another thing that was mentioned was digital skills, and I think Digital Candle are another sort of service that offers some advice. One way of doing these sort of using these consultants or advice, if you're in the charity sector, is basically get the tech you think you need. And if it is a bit overwhelming and you don't know the full functionality, I think Stuart mentioned project management systems. They can be, or CRMs, for example, they can be quite, or CMSs, they can be quite a lot. And when you use them, you only use sort of 30% of functionality.
Yeah.
That's where these sort of services can come in. You can say, look, we're using this project management system. How do we optimize it? And that's particularly obviously relevant for smaller charities who don't have dedicated IT teams that would, you know, assumedly be able to better navigate this stuff, because mm-hmm. I struggle personally to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Most of the time. So other options. We want to just pinpoint some other bits. Anyone got something they want to talk about? Something springs to mind?
Yeah, I mean, for the most, I'll say, tech savvy out there and people who have, say, good IT skills or good IT people, you know, there's always open source. So obviously the source is the code is free. Sorry, the code is free. Everything is free and is sort of a peer-to-peer model where everybody collaborates and everybody sort of adds to the software development. Obviously it's free. It might not be the best thing for you, but if you have the skills, it might be worth looking at it. I think it requires a lot of maintenance in the long run, but for those of maybe our listeners who are feeling quite okay with using open source, this is a great way of using free stuff that remains free and that is usually quite good. So yeah, for the adventurers out there, I would mention open source software.
I would say for those who maybe aren't inexperienced, and it can be a bit of can sound a bit obvious but often overlooked, is actually YouTube. It's really, I mean, I've got a funny story, slightly unrelated, but it can come back round on this. So YouTube is more than just an entertainment site where you watch fail videos or watching another person watching something or something like that. It can be a real lifesaver with even general questions. I mean, obviously YouTube is Google, and you can almost use the search function on YouTube like you would do with Google, and how do I do this and how do I do that? So my slightly unrelated story is that unfortunately my washing machine broke down over Christmas. And before giving up on it entirely, my wife typed in the number, you know, the model number of the washing machine, typed it into YouTube. We thought it might be like a drain issue. So she typed in draining issue, model number this. And lo and behold, there's a guy in his kitchen, probably somewhere in Scotland, and just taking this our washing machine apart. And then we would have no idea how to do that. I mean, unfortunately, the washing machine was still knackered. It was electronics in the end. But there you go. At least we gave it a try. So in sort of back to a point here is I'm very fortunate enough to work with a huge sort of variety of customers. And like, for example, with 365, I might get the question, hey, Joel, how do I assign a license? And rather than me tell them, I can just literally type in the phrase into YouTube, how do you assign licenses 365? And I send them a link of my search with a bunch of like help videos of people actually showing you how to perform a task. That YouTube has been an absolute lifesaver for any questions, even life hacks. It's my most favorite website ever.
Big shout out to YouTube.
Yes, big shout.
That's great.
So my choice is going to be outlet stores. And that may sound a little bit strange, but most of the big computer manufacturers, gadget manufacturers, that tech that you want and need, have an outlet store. These are items, again, that will have been either refurbished, checked out by the official vendors as suitable for resale and things like that. Not because they're pre-owned as such. They're often orders, again, that big corporations make, don't need as many as they needed and send them back. They can be last year's models that are still perfectly fine, but there's been a small little update. But you can save 15-20% on something like a MacBook just by actually making your Google search Apple Outlet Store rather than Apple Store. And you have the same with the vendors like Dell, Lenovo, anywhere really. Also, I quite like the high street resellers like CEX. Mm. Now, they might be intimidating, I think is possibly the right term, because you come up against this wall of all these computers, and some of them are brand new, some of them are quite old, and you just think, wait, how have they got these? Where have they come from? Why are they this price? However, it's all above board. People change, swap around. If you've ever wondered where your mobile phone goes when you send it off to somewhere like Music Magpie, it ends up somewhere like CEX. It's either reused or recycled, something like that. So that's another way of just not having to pay that full retail price.
Yeah.
But you do also need to be careful with things that are highly fashionable at the time or really difficult to get hold of, because they will jack the price up of that, and you could end up paying a lot more than retail.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think true. Some smaller charities as well, you can use, again, I don't like anecdotes with personal sort of analogies with personal references, but the way we refurbish phones, for example, you know, I have a refurbished phone that was 150 quid, I think, and I just got a lower model. That is an option for smaller charities. It sounds like almost, you know, don't get the top stuff, but get a model a few down and they'll knock the price down massively, and especially if it's refurbished, you know. And another more simple option was also, weirdly, this is a bit of a strange one, but charities, particularly smaller charities working with smaller organizations, can just ask. It's a weird one, because you can just go to the organization directly, mention your charity, and see if they can offer any discounts on that. I mean, I think it's always beneficial, and there's no harm in it. It's maybe a bit of strange advice to sort of conclude, I think, but
because I mean, the you know, going back to what Stuart was saying, there's actually a couple of websites that charities should check out. One called In Kind, which is basically you know, dealing with all the donated and not needed or surplus, whether that's computer or food or whatever that companies have. And then charities just need to sign up on the likes of Globechain and In Kind and see what is available in the area. And that's all donated and free. So they can also check that up. And then if they have a bit like, again, a bit of a project, they want to maybe be better at IT, but they don't know where to start, I'll always make the most of CSR programs. So you have the likes of, you know, big companies like JP Morgan or Lloyd's or whatever. They all have a corporate social responsibility program where they give out time and skills to charities around the area. And it's basically free for charities. You just need to sign up to some specific platforms for corporate social responsibility, like Benevity or Alaya or Neighbourly. So those are a few there. But essentially, they just sign up and then they get associated with some projects with these big corporations. So it's also a good one to check out, I guess.
Well, I'm going to have to interrupt. Well, not really interrupt. I didn't really interrupt. I'm going to have to jump in because we're going to have to wrap this up.
Yeah.
I'd like to say thanks to Joel. Thanks to Lisa. Thanks to Stuart for joining us. For more information, you should check out the Charity Digital website, where we basically talk about tech all day, every day. We have tons of webinars and podcasts that you can follow up on, and some people also across the sector, like Sage, Cast, Catalyst. They also offer some advice, so please visit them as well. Thanks again to the guests. Hope you enjoyed the podcast.
Thank you.
And see you next time.